Okay, so, good evening everybody. Last week, we went over a bit of the background, specifically about the Shita in the Yerushalmi, that we saw in at least two sources last week, and we'll recap again, and, you know, we can even start the truth is in source number Vav, if that's helpful, but we saw the Yerushalmi, in general, seem to hold that it's permitted to measure for personal use. That's, I would say, the one-line summary of last time. Permitted to measure for personal use. We saw that because one time talks about that certain people in the Gemara were weighing in order to be mefayes themselves, in order to know how much they got, meaning when they split the animal, did they get a good deal? That was one case we saw. We also saw, as we're going to see in the Mi'iri here. We're going to start off, you know, let's start off with the order that we have on the sheet. It was planned out for good reason. So let's take a look first at the Gemara Rashi Tosfos. We're going to go through Tosfos in a little more detail today, because we're going to deal with two of the issues that come up in Tosfos. So just recapping from the beginning of the new Gemara, from Ad Barei Rav Chisda L'Rabana Ukva, which is the bottom of Daf Chavtes, and we're going to turn the page today onto Chavtes Amud Beis. So Chavtes Amud Alf, Chavtes Amud Beis. Always more than happy if anybody wants to read, especially since we've already read it, but I think you guys know better than that. You know, it's not like, you know, being in the Rav's shir. I've heard stories from different Talmidim about what a fear it was that if you'd be called on to read, you know that you were toast. In my shir, if, you know, you guys give me a harder time than I give you, I think. But nevertheless, there's a story apparently that it goes that when the Rav would look up, so sometimes guys, in order to avoid being called upon, they would imagine that their pen would fall off their desk and they'd reach down to get it. So when the Rav looked up, you know, that's what he'd see. So then he'd call on the guy behind them. So there was one time, apparently, in particular, I think Rav Berzon used to tell this story, that it was a particular, Rav was maybe in, you know, a very sharp mood that day, or it was a hard sugyer or something like that. And not all the details were said by him, but it was something along these lines. And the Rav's, you know, ready to rage at the poor guy who's going to get chosen to pick up the Gemara. So he looks up down the middle row, and the first guy knocks his pen off his desk, goes down to reach the second guy, knocks down his pen off the third guy, knocks down his pen. He says, "What's going on here? Bowling pens?" That was, apparently that was his joke. Told in his Yiddish voice. Not that I have a good Rav voice, but anyways.
Where are
that's
we?
That's story as well. So at the bottom, it's four lines up from the bottom. Ad Barei Rav Chisda L'Rabana Ukva V'Darash Lo Yimdod Adam Se'orim V'Yitim L'Fnei Behem Tov Yom Tov. Person should not measure out barley and place it in front of his animal in Yom Tov. Aval Koder Hu Kavo Kavayim V'Nosin L'Fnei Behem Tov V'Nechoshesh. But he's allowed to be Koder, which again, we're just going to read the Gemara in accordance with Rashi. He can dig the measure into the pile and take that out and put it in front of his animal. V'Nechoshesh, and he doesn't have to worry. V'Hanachtom Modeid Tavlin. And the nachtom, now we get back to baking and cooking, actually. Nachtom, again, normally is a baker, but here we say, as Rashi notes, it refers to mevashel kederos as well. So that's ironic. For those who were not here in person and are listening on the recording, it's because before the shiur started, we discussed some differences between baking and cooking in halacha. Okay, to continue, so the nachtom is permitted to measure out spice to place inside whatever he's cooking or she's cooking, in order that it shouldn't get ruined. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, I'm Rav. And finally, we get now some more names. It's interesting, the simple read is that Rav Chisda takes Rabban Ukva and he says, Lo Yimdod Adam and V'Hanachta Mode Tavlin. Both of those halachos seem to be said by him. Then the next part of the Gemara, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Rav. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says the name of Rav. Moderes isha kemach beyom tov v'nosenes l'soch isa sakadei shetito chala b'ayin yafe. A woman may measure out an amount of flour on yontif and place it into her dough in order that she should be able to take chala off in a nice way. Ushmuel Amar, Asher Shmuel says it's prohibited for her to measure out the flour in this case. Ay v'hatana devei Shmuel moter, but we have in the Tana devei Shmuel, which is a Tosefta that Shmuel organized, that it is permitted. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hashtad Amar Shmuel, Asher v'tana devei Shmuel moter. Now that Shmuel has said that it's Asher and Tana devei Shmuel has said that it's moter, Shmuel halacha lema'aseh asa le'ashme'inan. Shmuel is coming to tell us halacha lema'aseh. So, we had a question as to what did this mean. Let's take a look in Tosfos, because we saw Rashi last time. We mentioned Tosfos briefly in last year, but let's go through it in a little bit more detail, and we'll try to explain what the Gemara is saying over here in general. So, Shmuel halach lamase asalash mi'inan. Perush, di'im yavo shum adam lishol lanu ketzad yaseh. If someone will come to us and ask us, what should they do? Omrim lo hora alasar, we paskin that it's asar. Aval im anuroim shum adam shenahag heter bedavar. But if we see a person who is acting leniently, ein anu tzrichin limchosbo. We don't need to protest against what he's doing, because why? He has what to rely on. He has very significant opinion. He has, again, some brisa, he has rav. And therefore, you know, nothing to worry about. Ulefiza.
Is he saying we have something to rely on? Or is he saying halacha is its mutar, but it's amoral?
Yeah. I mean, yes. The true halacha is, that was a bad choice of words. You're absolutely right. The true halacha is 100% its mutar. However, Shmuel is telling us, good idea, tell people that it's aser. Now. Well, yeah, that was a...
There's no logical reason why.
I mean, why to tell people that it's aser?
Yeah, why?
We will discuss that a little bit. Okay. We will discuss that a little bit. From last time, though, what would some ideas be as to why you might tell people that it's aser? No, that's why it would be aser. But why would you tell people that it's aser when it's really mutter? If it was uvdin d'chol, you'd have to tell them that it's aser because it was aser. If it was because of mekhel memkar, you'd have to tell them it was aser because it is aser. What would be a reason, even though it's mutter, to tell people that it's aser? One thing we discussed last time.
Low plug
to what? You're correct. Low plug to what? What is aser that we would tell, that we would be wanting to make a halacha in Morin Kane situation? Nachtom is aser or Nachtom is mutter?
No, measuring.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, measuring.
So, okay, you might say it's too close to measuring, even though technically this is permitted because of, let's say, a mitzvah, right, which is one of the points we're going to discuss. You might say it's true, right, that in terms of kedeli tochala ba'ayin yafeh, that's okay, but we don't want people going around doing that because pure measuring might be aser. For sure, measuring, obviously, for mekhel memkar is aser, maybe even plain measuring for personal use, that's what we're going to be discussing. So that's one way of reading the Gemara. Shmuel and Rav are not arguing with each other. They would both agree that the practical halacha is that it's mutter. However, we would paskin for people that it's aser because of, again, whatever associated concern.
Is he arguing with the Rishami?
Yes, then according to this, then we don't know. We're going to explore exactly your question this year. But right now, if Shmuel and Rav both hold that it's mutter, that which we saw in the Yerushalmi, that it's mutter, right, or at the very least, another case is mutter. In the Yerushalmi, we're talking about measuring for personal use. This case is talking about measuring flour. Again, kedeli tochala ba'ayin yafeh. We don't know what they would say about the previous two cases in the Gemara, but our job today is to take each of these three cases and say, do they agree with the Yerushalmi? How, why, when, and how do we paskin?
It is personal use, though, when you talk about...
It does sound like, yeah, certainly it's personal use, but there may be a mitzvah element involved.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
There's always a mitzvah element because it's yontif.
Right.
A different mitzvah besides eating.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Mihu. Bahag pirish ushmol halach lamase asala ashmi'inan upaleg abraisa upaleg arav. The Bahag, however, who was much before Rashi, who we quoted first, says that shmol halach lamase asala ashmi'inan means he's actually arguing in the halacha. That Shmuel is coming to tell us the halacha lamase, which means he's arguing on the Braisa, and he's arguing on Rav. Therefore, v'yeshe poskin k'shmuel, and there are those who follow the opinion of Shmuel, v'af agav d'halacha k'rav b'isuri, and even though the halacha follows Rav when it comes to Isser v'heter, which is this case here, mikol mako mi da'amar stamash d'hashas Shmuel halacha l'maase asalash minan mashma d'halacha k'avasei. These rules that we're applying of halacha k'rav b'isuri Shmuel bedini is not when you have an explicit gemara that comes to tell you that halacha l'maase follows Shmuel. So those people read the gemara as follows. They read Amar Abaye hashta de Amar Shmuel asir utana deve Shmuel mutter. Now that Shmuel, despite obviously knowing that the Raisa says it's mutter, and that knowing, which is what Rav is presumably relying upon, an earlier source even than Rav himself, But now that Shmuel knows that, and he nevertheless says it's aser, it's because that's the true halacha. That's the way that this opinion would read the Gemara. If we were to paskin like Rav, though, which is his next line, v'yesh poskin k'rav mishum d'alacha k'rav b'isuri v'kol shekin hacha d'ha tana d'vei Shmuel k'avasei d'rav. And there are those who paskin like Rav, because the tana d'vei Shmuel follows him. Now, how will they explain the Gemara then? If the Gemara still says halacha l'mase asalash mi'inan, how are they going to explain that line then? They can't be explaining like Rashi, because this is within the Bahag's Shita. Again, we're saying within the Shita that they're arguing with each other, some paskin like Rav and some paskin like Shmuel.
Maybe they say that Shmuel agrees with Rav on the basis of the Beis Shmuel.
They don't, though, because again, what's the Gemara coming to say? Halacha l'maaseh asalash
me'inan? I don't know, but maybe he's coming
no,
to teach
but that's what
that
we're
even
asking.
Though Rav personally...
even though Shmuel personally...
Even though Shmuel personally was against it, because the Beis Shmuel was for it, he possibly likes the Beis Shmuel. He's on yeshiva.
No, then it should have said, Shmuel... Oh, so you would read Halacha Lamasa Asalash Minan the Tana Devei Shmuel? Why would he say that it's Asr then? No, that's a very hard read. I'm sorry, that's a very hard read.
He personally held it was Asr, but his yeshiva held it was Mutter. Then he was maskim to his own yeshiva, it's Mutter. And then he held like Rav.
But as they say, Iker Chaser Min HaSefer. I don't see that anywhere here.
Shmuel, we're saying that Halacha Lamasa Asalash Minan is just reflecting Shmuel's opinion.
Very good.
But does it reflect Rav's?
Very good. And that the Gemara is only trying to say, why would Shmuel go and contradict himself, what he taught? The answer is, because he felt the halacha was like that. But it doesn't cast anything over the whole machlokas. It's just simply referring to the argument within Shmuel's potential shita. Because again, Tana Devei Shmuel says one thing, Shmuel himself says another thing. That's how they would read the Gemara. Okay, so really three ways to read the Gemara. One is that it's halacha vein morin kein, like Rashi. That's just, you know, what we read originally. Then we have the Bahag's way of looking at it, that it's either that it is an actual machloksi in Rav and Shmuel, either we passing like Rav or we passing like Shmuel, some passing like Rav, some passing like Shmuel, and we read the Gemara in various ways to support that. Okay? Fine. V'omer harav Rav Shmuel me'ivra da'afil mandamar da'lacha karav, and listen to what he says. And he says, even, however, according to the opinion that we follow Rav and that this is mutter, Mikol makom aser lanu bizman hazeh limdod mishum litol challah be'ayin yafeh. It's prohibited nowadays in order to measure, in order to take challah be'ayin yafeh. The dafka b'meyon shem afrishin challah achas michaf dalet benosnin lakohen shayach lemoter be'ayin yafeh, etc., 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 etc. Shayach lomar demoter mishum ayin yafeh. Okay, and we're going to get back to this because this is going to be a different point that we're going to focus on. We're going to see how other rishonim take it. The first question is like this.
He's saying that challah is no longer applicable in Babel? Is that what he's trying to say?
It's no longer given to the Kohen.
It's no longer a precise measurement.
Correct.
That's what he's saying. So there's no need to do it by Yain Yafa. Mm-hmm. But what he's implying here is the only reason why it was mutar in the first place to do a mitzvah.
Correct.
Not for personal usage.
Correct. And I don't know that that's... necessarily agreed upon by all, as we're going to see. So, the first question is like this. Let's assume for a moment that this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is about measuring for personal use. Which it's not, and we're going to get to those details. But first, let's try to figure out, who do we paskin like? Meaning, this Tosfos says that even according to Rav, you can't measure for personal purpose. But assuming not like Tosfos. Assuming you just read the Gemara, you have machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's okay, Shmuel says it's not okay. Who do we paskin like? So it's true, we saw some paskin like this, some paskin like that. What's the halacha? So, I brought you here the Rosh, the Riff, and the Rambam. The Rosh, in Os Beis, source 2, brings us the whole discussion here that we saw really in Tosfos, and we'll hear what he has to say. And we'll jump through quickly. It's basically the same thing as Tosfos, but a few more precise sources, as well as the psak of others before him. Okay. Perish Rashi, Abal Lishal Halach Lamaseh Morim Lo Iser, and I skipped out the quote of the Gemara. V'yichazina Inishtavid Lo Machina V'yari Dalach Demotar Avalein Morin Kain. That we saw as Rashi in Morin Kain. Ulefiz Nematinu Lefruchi Derav Dishari Lav Halach Lamaseh Kamar V'lo Pligin and Arguing. V'yosir Nira says the Rosh. Dirav Vishmuel behalach alamase pligi vehelchasaker abi suri says the simple pshat is that we paskin like Rav it be suri and that this is a machlokes in Rav and Shmuel v'chein pasik bahag v'shem yeshiva sura. Okay, so we have the two big two big yeshivas. What were they? Our resident expert in Gaonic studies here.
Sura
and Pompidisa. So in Yisura they said, Deshadar, Vizel Hashona, Deshadar Mimasif, the Sura they sent from the yeshiva of Sura, the Chorav Vishmol, Lachkarav Yisuri, period. Because she came here, the Tana Devashim will cover say Derav. Vavale Yachid B'makom Ravim says, not only is it the halacha like Rav Be'isuri, but also you have Yachid B'makom Ravim. We have two against one. Aval Mesifta de Pompidisa, Shidaru ale Isser Kedishmol, the Tamayu Mishum de Yachalim Dod me etmol, de Lav Zorech Kedera, the name Ashalo Yifkom Tama, Ashalo Yakdecha Tavshil. They say what? You should have done it?
The day before.
And therefore we should paskin like Shmuel. It's interesting, according to that interpretation, it's very bizarre as to what Rav would be holding. This just dawned upon me now. That means that they hold that according to Rav, when you can do something yesterday, you're still allowed to do it.
What is the Beis Shmuel, if not Yeshiva's Pompidisa?
That's true. No wonder. Actually, no, then it's a bigger kasha.
Yeah,
sorry.
But making sense.
That's funny. Interesting. Something to think about.
But it's not... I mean, you change the case. Because if you have guests coming and all of a sudden you have baked bread, you can't...
Correct. At the end of the day, we're just here to bring the machlokas. We will get back to exactly this point about Yachalim Dod Me'etmol and changing the case to match it. We're going to talk about it later. The Beis Yosef, as you'll remember last week, brought it up from Maharia Buab. Well, I heard a story this week, which apparently is a famous story, but I didn't know it. I heard it from my brother, and then I looked it up in the Chuvas Maharit, where it originally is featured, that it was two Maharia Buabs. There was the Maharia Buab the first and Maharia Buab the second, from slightly different geographical locations and not very long after each other. And apparently the second Maharia Buab was blind in one eye. And the story goes, which it's hard for me to believe that this is true, because it's such like a... It's like someone thought of a pun and they're like, let me try to make it. But anyways, that apparently he was blind in one eye, so he had only one eye. And what happened was, he was sitting there on a rock with two other great people, and they were exchanging jokes, apparently. Okay, so there's one person to his right, one person to his left, and there's a student there standing with them as well, and they told a joke, and then they asked the student, Maharia Buab says to the student, you tell a joke. And I came across this completely, again, by chance. This was not in terms of preparing the shiur, because we mentioned Maharia Buab later on. Again, even though it's a different one. And Maharia Buab says to the student, you sell a joke. So he says, Rebbe, do I have permission to sit down on the rock? So the Rebbe says, sure. So he sits down and he says, Al Evan Achas Shiva Einayim. Hmm. So that was his joke, apparently, about Maharia Buab. And the question is it inappropriate to use Pesukim? So this is the context which it comes up if people say insulting things like that. Based on a pasuk, is it appropriate, not appropriate? And there they say, come on, it's just a joke. Everybody laughed, you know, like that seems to be the analysis of the Rishonim V'Achronim, the poskim over here. Anyways.
It's just a joke.
Right.
Before you set the bears, yeah.
Yes. Okay, anyways, the point is we have a machlokas, whether you pasuk like Rav, whether you pasuk like Shmuel. Okay, and again, we didn't see this idea of Yachalim Dod Me'etmol and Tosfos. This was... apparently from the original source, but Tosfos didn't bring it, you could see how you would paskin like Shmuel, again, based on just the language of the Gemara, which is the way Tosfos presented it. Okay? And in fact, v'chein pasak harav al-fasi zal, v'harambam ubal ha'iter zal, v'chein zihiros hanashim shelo limdod b'mida shemorin ba b'chol ela opochasos omosifos, v'af lahamatirin. And again, he goes into the next and last part of Tosfos that we have. So basically, in summary, even though the Rosh seems to say Yoser Nira Derav Bishmuel Balach Almighty Plagi V'Hilchasal Karav B'Isuri, V'Chein Kas Pasuk B'Hag, but then he brings in fact the Riff and the Rambam argue. Let's take a look at the Riff and the Rambam. The Riff writes very clearly: Shmuel Balach Almasa Asal Hashminan De Aser V'Chein Elchasa. Very, very straightforward. If you look in the Rambam, though, the Rambam is a bit interesting. The middle halacha. But a woman should not measure out kemach li'isa. And so too a person shouldn't measure out the se'orim in front of his animal. He should rather estimate and give it to the animal. So the question is, first of all, what can we note about the Rambam that's significant relative to Tosfos and the Rosh? fact that he says Isha lo tamud kemach liisa, period. Yeah. He doesn't talk about even for a mitzvah like one would have expected if he's truly channeling the Gemara. If he's explaining the Gemara, you should say, even for the mitzvah of challah, a woman can't do that. Now, you could argue that he's just saying she should never be able to do that, including when there's a mitzvah, and that's a fair argument, but just something to keep in mind for later, the fact that not everybody seems to emphasize the idea of the challah mitzvah being that important. The order, by the way, which some people may be wondering about why you're passing in a different order than the Gemara relayed the cases, is just because one of them seems to be more mutter, and then you have the two usser cases that go together. And again, within the thread that the Rambam is trying to spin, it's to say personal measuring on Shabbos and Yantif is usser. Right? So, the first case, there's a special answer for a naftom. Otherwise, all measuring for personal use is usser. That's the way the Rambam seems to be going. But there's a problem. If you look in the Magen Mishnah here, the Magen Mishnah, and we'll read through it. Hanafto mo de tavlin, shamim ranafto mo de tavlin, nosil no chakter, gesh lo yachter tafilo, upirish, lav dafka nachtom. He says, what does the Rambam mean when he says nachtom? He means not a nachtom. Again, what does the Rambam mean when he says nachtom? He's not a nachtom. Elahu adin lachaladam. Ela shedibru chachamim behove. Who's the guy who's cooking? It's a nachtom. Ve'eno dome le medidas haseom lif nevehemta sheasdru akamoshi is par besamach, shum the hakala, lekap seda bedavar sheeno nimdad, klomar sheincham, chashash hefsid bedavar acher, ela shalotoch al seorem harbe omeat. Avokan, shim hayu atavlim rubin yakdiach kolatav shil yacho kolatam limdod, vechenir midivrik saske onimzal, says the Magid Mishnah. Very simple. The Rambam holds that really everybody's allowed to measure when there's a concern for the food. When it comes to the animal by Seorim, what's going to happen if you don't do it? Nothing. So the animal won't eat a little bit. But if you put in too much tavlin, chalon's going to be overly spiced, that is no good, and therefore that's going to be mutter. So it turns out that the Rambam is not 100% consistent like we'd expect. The Rambam turns out to hold, as explained by the Magid Mishnah here, if something, again, bad will happen, if you don't measure, you're allowed to measure, for personal use even. Otherwise, if there's nothing really at stake, then you can't measure. That seems to be the shita of the Rambam. Okay, so again, the Rambam has this distinction based on this Magid Mishnah here, and I'm not convinced that that's actually what the Rambam held. The fact that he says, Naftom is lavdafka, there doesn't seem to be any other hachrayach in the Rambam that that's what he holds. But nevertheless, this is the Magid Mishnah telling us what the Rambam holds. So we can say that. And again, he quotes this from Divrei Ktzas Geonim as well. The point being that, according to him, it's permitted when there's going to be a loss if you don't measure properly, or there could be a loss. It's prohibited in all other personal use.
So then the woman doing it for the challah should be permitted, because otherwise there could be a hefset to the kohen.
So, that doesn't seem to be the case, probably because, A, she can be a little bit more machmir and take off a little bit more, and that's not a problem. Meaning, at the end of the day, even if you're talking about the measuring challah, which again, the Rambam doesn't talk about challah altogether, he's just giving a basic rule of personal use. And that's why he skips out the challah. Even if you're going to say challah, though, what's going to happen if you're machmir? Meaning, you have to take off 1/24. So you'll be machmir, you'll take off what eyeballs to be 1/20th. The Kohen's not losing out. If anything, the Kohen's gaining. And that could be why the Rambam didn't bring it, or it could be that, again, he's just trying to tell us a regular case. The point is, this is the way the Magen Mishnah explains the Rambam's Shita altogether. The Rif, the Rosh, we don't know exactly what they would hold about Nachtom. They don't address this directly. If you look in the Me'iri, though, the Me'iri is very strongly disagrees to a point that is almost hard to understand. He says, the Nachtom was cooking this big pot. If he did it, and again, in a proper way. Says, this type of medida is not even a medida. And the reason why they are makel is because we don't want v'yaktiach es atav shuborov charifus. Aval, says the Meiri, very strongly. Bebal habayis ha-mevashal asmo, lo hitiru b'medida lafi, so gazu. According to the Gemara here, bal habayis is asur. Shari ein bo chashash aktach es tavshilo. It's not going to, there's not a concern either if his stuff gets overspiced, or that his stuff will get overspiced. That's kind of hard to understand. He says, even though he talks the whole time about how, it's nothing, it's medida muetes kazo, nevertheless, he still asers it for the balabais. Meaning, he says, there's special heter for the nachtom, and that doesn't apply to anybody else. And he says that's the sogi of the Bavli. The sogi of the Bavli holds, with one exception, which again, he gives you, tries to give you these different answers. The point is, there's a special heter only for the public, basically. That's the way that he seems to be framing it. Because this guy's selling to everybody, there are big ramifications if this happens, and in the grand scheme of things, measuring is not that big a deal, right? It's midira mu'etes kazo. And therefore, it's permitted only for the naftom. However, any personal case that will take place in one's home, it's going to be aser to measure. It's a very straightforward read of the Bavli.
When he says is he saying we're not concerned about his personal loss? In other words, there's a difference that the Nachtom is doing it for everyone. If he blows it once and doesn't sell it, he's not going to produce it again next week.
Right. So that's the way that I read it, because I don't think you can read it the other way. The other way is to say in bo chashash haktachas tavshilo, that there's no chashash that his stuff will be ruined.
No,
but I don't understand why that should be.
We're not concerned if it gets ruined.
Correct, that's how I read it. That's what I'm saying. That's how I read the Meiri. I think you could have, in terms of the actual Hebrew words, Ein bo chashash haktachas tavshilo, you might have read it, there is no concern that his cooked item will be ruined. But again, I don't think that makes any sense. I think it has to be that Ein chashash haktachas tavshilo, we don't care if it gets ruined. I think that's the simplest read, and therefore, again, any personal measuring is aser. It comes out with a very uniform sheet, according to the Meiri. And then the Meiri brings you the Yerushalmi, who he says argues, Umikomako mitamod hamarav nira sheiki lubaf bibalipatin, Vushamru omir adam lachavero tenli kaila shal tavlin, shekin derech balabais lios nosin kaila shal tavshin letoch tavshilo, afa isha modedas kemach. Right? Umuch. And he's explaining again the next case. I don't know what that word is. Okay, I don't know what that word is. Zui sitanto. Umiash amr begemar amar rav modez yishav avich chalak bashmul vechein aser helzak rabbi sirmi kamakn delei poskim kasush einosin kein ala betzinav shel ala horos kein, which is Rashi. Umiash amr begemar al rav de amar mutter shmul damar aser from a love tana deve shmul mutter from a bay hash to damar, and he just quotes this whole thing. Ka amar demin hadin mutter al shel maisein morin kein ube pesach mi amutter the love of the eser torah shim tosif shem yavol mudechimutz, etc. So basically, what the Meiri says is like this. He says, according to the Bavli, I'm just summarizing outside, and it was a bit of a tough read, and I read it quite quickly. Outside, to say, we are machmir. Any cases of personal measuring, there's a machlok between Rav and Shmuel as to whether or not it's permitted for a mitzvah. But again, a simple case of personal measuring with nothing at stake is going to be aser. And finally, he does mention, though, even though we don't permit this, we do permit it when it comes to baking things on Pesach. Why do we permit it when it comes to baking things on Pesach? Because if you mess up with your measurements on Pesach, you're not dealing with, I accidentally gave a little bit less than I should have to the Kohen. You're dealing with, that's a nice way to put it, or not a nice way to put it, I guess. But you're in a lot more trouble when you're dealing with chametz on Pesach.
Go ahead.
Isn't that shitaso? It's just a mistake in the way it...
Shitasenu, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we hold.
Okay. So I'm having a difficulty in that we're allowed to bake 100 loaves at one time if it makes it better.
Mm-hmm.
We have with putting extra food into a pot if it makes it better.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden we're saying you don't care what his food tastes like, and we're prohibiting measuring and willing to have him lose all his food for that reason. It's just...
And it's hard to understand.
It's a reversal.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Yeah.
We permit extra tirtha, we permit leftovers with intent that it's not going to be used on Yontif. And then we say a minor thing like measuring.
Mm-hmm. Which is not even a malacha.
Which is not even a malacha, is aser.
I don't have an answer.
And no one bring that up?
I didn't see anybody quote that Gemara.
Okay.
Yeah, that is surprising now that I think about it. But again, we at least have again one sheet that which goes through it and says now. Just going back to last week for a little bit, was what we talked about in terms of weighing meat in the grand scheme of things. So, according to Rambam, what would be the halacha by weighing meat? Based on what we said before, within the Magid Mishnah's read of the Rambam.
It would be asur for the individual weighing with meat.
Mm-hmm. Unless it was required for cooking the dish. Right? Meaning, if the individual needed
unless
to know how much
hefset.
Meat... What?
Unless there's a hefset.
Correct, unless there's a possibility for a hefset. So, for example, let's say they don't know how long to cook a big... You know, big piece of meat. They'd say, oh, well, if it weighs this much, then I cook it for this amount of time. If it weighs this much, I wait, cook it for this amount of time. You could possibly make the argument that according to the Rambam, that would be mutter. And you might even be able to make the argument that according to Shulchan Aruch, who seems to follow the Rambam, that it's mutter. The Beis Yosef ben Ches is the one which goes through the Rashba. And he also brings up, as we said, that Mari Abuav. If you jump down to just the next page, Vagon Maria Buab, you have it there?
On the back?
Yeah.
It's four lines from the top of the sheet.
Okay. Right.
Right, then again, he was going through the Rajba, trying to say, oh, is the Rajba right? Is the Rajba wrong? And again, right, Hilkach Nirash Ein Lismoch Ala Yerushalmi, that's his line. Vagon Maria Buab Zal Kasav Mashiach Shurabinu Mimedidas Kemach. What are you going to do with Medidas Kemach? Tishani hasam shehayayach alasosam erev yomtov mashein kin bibasar imshachta biyomtov neikach lo gazra filukshay lo basam erev yomtov. So, Maria Buab explains that why is Medidas Kemach aser lehalacha and weighing is going to be mutter lehalacha? For meat. Because again, when it comes to the measuring flour, you could have done it before. When it comes to meat, you can't have done it before, and therefore they didn't even make a gzera on the meat that actually was available before. That's the way Maria Buab explains. Let's see if we can use this to make sense out of the different cheetos here. So again, we have three cases in the Gemara. We have the case of Seorim, we have the case of Nachtom, we have the case of Kemach, and outside of our Gemara, we have the case of weighing. Again, Seorim, Nachtom, Kemach. So, let's assume that the halacha is and that everybody agrees that a nachtom, at the very least the individual nachtom, is permitted. And let's assume that everybody agrees that se'orim l'fnei behema is prohibited. And that we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to the case of kemach. So how can we explain those shitos according to the Ostrim and according to the Matirim, meaning according to those pasuk like Rav and according to the people of pasuk like Shmuel? So, we already saw, sorry, if you go back up, in that rush on top, back in source number one, quoting from again the Misifta de Pompidisa, Mishum de Yachal Limdod me esmol de lav tzorach kedima de neima shelo yifkom tama. They say when it comes to flour, it's something that you could have done previously. So if we follow that line of thinking, which again seems to be the Psak of the Rith, seems to be the Psak of the Rambam, seems to be the Psak of the Itter, is the Psak of Shulchan Aruch. So Maria Buab explains is because in that case, it's something you could have done before Yantif. However, if it's not something that you can do in all cases before Yantif, or in most cases at the very least, then it is something that we are not gozer on, and therefore the weighing of meat is okay. Now, let's think about Tavlin. Is Tavlin something you could have measured out before Yantif? I had this argument last week with Sam.
For sure you could have.
He says yes. I said absolutely not. You don't know how many people there are going to be.
Well,
this was our discussion last week.
You know how much you're going to cook.
Yeah, no, but...
You don't.
Toughness are spices. Spices right. You ground, you're allowed to grind them
fresh.
And make them fresh.
Right.
So you can't measure beforehand because you can't have them from the day before. I mean, that's how we had the halakha that you're allowed to grind them because if you had them a day old, they're no good.
Depends on the grinding, right?
The Gemara says, based
pepper.
On their
right.
In those days, based
mm-hmm.
on their system, you have
so
to
I would
fresh.
Argue, therefore, within this Mahalach of Maria Buab and the Gaonim from Pompidisa, you could make the argument that all lenient cases are cases where there was no gzera because of you're not able to do it before, or even if you were able to do it before, that's a minority case and therefore they weren't gozer in that case altogether. Whereas all the cases that were oser, meaning the kemach according to them, as well as the behema, you could have ostensibly measured out beforehand. I still think the behema can measure out beforehand. I think, was it you who was arguing with me about that as well?
He says here, shechted on that day. So he's differentiating between a behema that was done beforehand and a behema that was shechted on the same day.
He doesn't differentiate. Read what he says again. No, he does not. He says explicitly, I'll read you the language. Umipnei kach lo gazru afilu kishahaya lo basar me'erev yantif.
No, what he's saying is permissible because you're able basar im shechta biyantov.
Yeah, umipnei kach, and because most of the time basar is shechted on yantif, lo gazru afilu kishahaya lo basar me'erev yantif.
Right.
Even on erev yantif, it's mutter. Yeah.
But it's based on the fact that you do the shechita, you can do the shechita on yantif itself. The kemach, you're not grinding the flour on yantif. The kemach had to be prepared beforehand.
Right.
Okay, so kemach must
be... Right, but we were talking about the animal food.
Right. No, we're talking about the animal. We're talking about the meat.
Right. No, so again, we've clarified the case of the meat. The meat, everybody holds, is something that's on yantif and therefore is permitted to measure for personal use, according to Maria Buab. The kemach, everybody agrees, is not something that can be done on yantif and therefore has to be done before yantif and therefore is usher for personal use.
Right.
Those two cases we've solved. Now we have two more cases. We have the case of the nachtom, tavlin, which we've now concluded around the table, that tavlin is also something which has to be done on Yom Tov Dafka, and therefore it's going to be permitted for personal use. Right. Now we have to think back to the last case of Seorim. Based on this thread, we would say the simple approach to follow here is to say that Seorim is something that could have been done before Yantif. There's no reason why you can't go to the storehouse and take out two scoops of for the animal's food today as opposed to tomorrow.
Okay, and there's no hefset. I mean, if you give a little more, less the animal.
There's no hefset by meat either with what we're going on in the Rajpa.
He mentioned about cooking. You need to know how much you're cooking.
That was one argument to say, if we're going to follow the Magid Mishnah's approach. Magid Mishnah's approach was all surrounding hefset. Maria Buab's approach is surrounding whether you're allowed to do it beforehand or not. So within Magid Mishnah's approach, you'd have to determine if it was necessary for the cook. And that approach is frankly very hard because you could argue that flour is necessary to cook, and you could argue that tavlin, measuring it per se is not always so necessary, but I mean, in general, it fits well with tavlin, but it doesn't fit well with other cases. That's what I'm trying to say. When you're talking about a thread running through all these four cases of whether or not it's personally allowed or not, to say that, when there's a big loss, it's going to be permitted, like your food might get ruined, it's hard to justify the Rambam stance on kemach. That's why, again, we tend to push away the Magid Mishnah, and we're saying, even the Magid Mishnah gives this reason, it could be that he's right in the Das HaRambam, it's hard to see a common thread running through all four cases. Now we're suggesting a common thread of Maria Buab, to say that it's all about whether you could have done it before. So the two cases which are usher, which are the kemach and the seorim and the behema, those are things that could have been done before yantif. The things which are permitted for personal use, which is the tavlin and the meat, weighing, those things are going to be things that you can't have done before yantif. Therefore, there's no gzera on them, even on yantif. Even if it was available to you before Yantif, and therefore for personal use, those things would be allowed according to Maria Buab, who here is explaining the Rajba, who the Beis Yosef disagreed with, and therefore who he paskined against. So this is approach number one, to say that in these four cases, just summary, approach number one, say that in these four cases, the Bavli and Yerushalmi technically agree that it is permitted to weigh or measure for personal purposes. It's only going to be usher where you could have done it before Yom Tov. Now, will the Yerushalmi hold that if you did it before, you could have done it before Yom Tov, that is usher? We don't know.
Why just for personal use?
Why?
If the issue is hefset, for example, in the case of the
Magid Mishnah. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the Magid Mishnah's approach. I'm talking about Maria Buab's approach.
Okay, but so take Maria Buab's approach. If for commercial purposes...
Yeah.
He couldn't do it before because he didn't know how many people basically were going to want the meat. And he only find out on Yom Tov itself, he should be permitted. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's going to be hefset. He'll lose. Unless you hold Uvdin the Chol.
That's exactly what he holds. Again, for commercial purposes, it's Uvdin the Chol. So for non-commercial purposes, it's mutter, unless he could have done it beforehand.
So he's holding like Rashi on one hand, and he's holding like the Rashba on the other hand.
Kind of. If you think of it that way, sure. My point is to say, his sole criterion is to say whether or not you could have done it before. It should be mutter unless you could have done it before. Or, if you want to look at it the other way, it's usser unless you can't do it before. However you want to look at it, my point is, he can have a mahalach which works its way through all four cases of the sugya and gives us some sort of consistent criteria which answers our questions.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. That's Mar Rabbi Abuah. Beis Yosef takes him to task. Beis Yosef doesn't like it, and why this, and why not this, and this, and that, and all sorts of questions. We're not really going to get into it, because we're just trying to explain these things. I'm going to skip the next one for now. By the way, I just brought you the Yamshel Shlomo here. Just to go back to, I think it was something that you mentioned last week. We'll just briefly look at this. Look at the Yamshel Shlomo, talking about the Nachdom. In the middle of the first line, we're in source number 10. Mashma l'chora shalo hitiru el nachdom davka v'lo l'char b'ni adam v'kach kasav atur behedya asr limdo tavlim k'de litnim b'kdera. And that's probably how he learned the Rambam as well. The end of that line, avlamagad mishna kasav v'perek dalid d'lav davka nachdom el huadin l'chal adam, etc. Jump to the end of the line again. V'kach nira ikr, says the Yamshel Shlomo, and that's in fact how Shulchan Aruch paskins. Like this Magad Mishnah, the Adraba says the Yamshel Shlomo, Amina de Afilu Nachdom Shebaki Bekachi Tirulo Limdod Kedei Shelo Yaktiach Tavshilo Kol Shekein LaAcher. Says if we're going to allow the Nachdom, who is very precise, as we saw back by the case of weighing, it's aser for certain things for the Tabach to do because he's such a Baki in them. So he's saying, if we're going to allow the Baki to do it, for sure we should allow the regular Joshmo to do it. And that was getting to your point last week, where you said that for the Nachdom, there's more of a Mekach u'Memkar concern. And therefore you would thought that the Nachdom should be more stringent, and that's really the point that the Yamshel Shlomo was making here, which is to say that if it's Mutter for the Nachdom, it's for sure going to be Mutter for everybody. I just wanted to get back to that point. But what ends up happening is that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this Magid Mishnah. So how are we going to explain the Shulchan Aruch based on what we saw? Again, if it's all about your dish getting ruined, I mean, think of all the cases where, you put in a cup of flour instead of 2 cups of flour when you're baking, and your whole thing is ruined, and vice versa, you put in 2 cups instead of 1 cup. So how will we explain those cases? So if you look at Tafkuf Dalid, first of all, the Magen Avraham disagrees with Shulchan Aruch, who says that it's permitted to be moded. He says, V'yesh omrim daftal anachtam shari v'lachain nirli da'idna da'fachol lo'kin v'omid adas aster limdo b'yom tov ayin reish simen tafkufav. So some people will just disagree with that, and they'll follow the other read of the Rambam, which is to say it's always aser. The only case in which it would be mutter is possibly if there's a mitzvah need. Possibly. And even that doesn't seem to be so, but it's going to be aser for everybody except for a nachtom. And even the Nachdom again, he says he thinks he should be Machmir, because now Af Bechol Lokin Ba'omer Hadas. So basically, the more Machmir you get on this halach of Nachdom, the more consistent you can be in saying that it's always Aser for personal use, like we said originally from the Meiri, and like we said for one read of the Rambam. So too, you look in Shulchan Aruch, or Achayim Tafkuf Vav, this is where you bring down Kemach, Ein Moded in Kemach B'Yom Tov K'dei Lalush Ela Yikach Ba'omer Hadas. Okay, that's the what Shulchan Aruch writes again. In Modedin, look in Magen Avram, Dehaya Yachal Limdod Me'etmal. That was the reason we saw before. Okay, that again, this common thread that went through them, that was what we called Mar Rabbuah's thread. Now look what he says here, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. V'gam lav tzorach k'derahu d'neima shelo yifgom hatavshil. He quotes this from the Rosh. He says, this is not considered tzorach k'dera. So, if you're accepting this, for whatever reason you would want to accept that, then in fact you can defend Shulchan Aruch and you can defend the Magen Mishnah's read of the Rambam. They will tell you that really the only Tzorech Kedera is a case of Nachdom and Tavlin. Tavlin is really unique in that that's considered a Tzorech Kedera. I don't understand why that is, but I'm just telling you this is their possibility. Okay? Now, So in summary, basically, there's two threads to go through this.
They're basically saying there is no need to measure precisely...
when it comes to flour.
Giving food to animals or anything. They're saying...
Yes,
an individual,
animal, everybody agrees, yes.
Okay, they're saying in general, there's no need to be precise.
Yes.
And therefore, you don't need to measure.
Yes.
It's not answering here whether we're talking about using a measuring tool that you're not filling. Like, you had somewhere else where it mentioned that you're actually using the cle but not filling it.
Yes. Let's just... Okay. That was even when it's usser.
Right.
Meaning in the case where it's usser, you're allowed to do koder kavo kabayim.
Possible.
That's in a case... That's what we saw 2 shiurim ago.
Right.
For sure. Right? That ain't moded in, right, Seorim for the behema. That's where you're allowed to do the non-measuring. And that's where we got into the whole discussion of what can you do? Can you use the measuring tool? Can you not use the measuring tool? Etc., etc.
Okay, but here in Shulchan Aruch, when he says Bo Med Hatat, he's saying it's an estimate. Is he using the kli or not using the kli? He's not specifying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, you could look back at the shiur that we had 2 weeks ago where Shulchan Aruch... Again, it seems Paskin like the Rif, who did say Ba'omed. Right? And we had that whole discussion, what does the Rif actually hold? So, again, we had approach number one, which we called Maria Buav's approach, which is really not his, but to say that it all depends on whether you could have done it before or after, mentioned also by the Magen Avraham here, or to say that, again, the only thing that you need to precisely measure is spices, and as the Magen Avraham noted, nowadays we don't even measure spices precisely, so to heck with that. And therefore, everything's usher for personal use, even for the Nachtom, even, etc., for all those things. The question now becomes, for those who are makel when it comes to the mitzvah, meaning, we saw Tosfos say that nowadays you can't be makel for a mitzvah anyways, we saw the Meiri who says that for Pesach you can, because that's a bigger concern. The question is, what role does the mitzvah play? This is a very tough question to answer. And I'm going to jump back up to Tess now, which I skipped over, which is an article in a Ketav 8 called Sohar, interestingly. So he comes to explain the Rajba as to the question from our sugya over here from Kemach. V'asher nira lomar b'dasa Rajba, al pima shenispar le'el, dehachalo havi medida l'tzorach mitzvah, l'medida l'tzorach lisha leida kamalalush. Says Rav Michael Shiloni, that really it's not medida l'tzorach mitzvah here. When you're talking about being moded kemach, he says, let's get this straight. Hamadita letzorach lisha leida kamalalush ela dehiti rav kevan deyesh bezet toelas lemitzvah shetafrish chala be'ayin yafeh. Umizel amar harajba, he says, dihu adin demutra lishko besoch basar besoch beso. That should be flipped. Besoch basar beso. He can cook in the meat of his house. Venira de kevan de'eno mamish medida letzorach mitzvah Al karchachu deshari rav who mishum shibe emes ein baze eser gamor de uvdin dechol v'ikr taima deshari mishum simchas yom tov. He says because really the fact that all the rishonim are struggling to explain why is it that you need this kedei likach chala ba'ayin yafe, why is it that you need to measure this out? The truth is, he says, it's not medida shel mitzvah. It's true we pull that in as like a nice thing to say, he says, but really what the Gemara is coming to tell us is that Medida of Kemach is mutter. And it's true, we pull in this sort of side point to say like, oh yeah, and anyways, it will allow you Likachala Ba'ayin Yafa, but that's not the reason why you're doing it, he says. Don't get confused that way. If that's the case, again, that heter is a, then when Rav Paskins that that's mutter, that's going to mean it's mutter to do personal measuring at home with Kemach. Because it's really only for the case, he says, of Simchas Yom Tov, El Kev and Efshir Meir of Yom Tov, and then we get back to that discussion again. Tamar Shmuel, Kach Kamar Rav, Kedesh Tzitol Chala Ba'ayin Yafa Yesh Lanu Lahatir, Rav Apishi Yesh Bo Tzorech, En Bo Tzorech Kol Kach Ma'acham, Vada Yesh Bo Ktsas Tzorech Yantif, Yesh Bo Shippur, etc. Basically, the point that he lays out is that, Lemaisa, it's hard to consider this a Medida Shal Mitzvah when you're measuring out flour. And therefore, that's why it's not so much of a question against the Rajba. And that's why the Rambam doesn't write anything about measuring for a mitzvah. And that's why no one really talks about this. Not in Shulchan Aruch, not in... Why? Because it's not about that. It's really the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is indeed about measuring personally. And Shmuel says that it's aser, and Rav says that it's mutter. That's the way they understand this case of Kemach. So now, again, in this case, this sort of fits in all the rest of the details of our case. Originally, we were worried about Tosfos, and we were worried about the Rosh, who said that Eve, the only reason why Rav is Matir is because of Mitzvah. But if we follow this approach, which was the Rajba's approach, then we can now see why our Sugya is not a problem, and we can in fact learn our Sugya that in all cases, if we follow the Rajba, it's going to be always permitted to measure for personal use, because we'll follow Rav, we'll paskin like Rav, in which case, by the case of Kemach, you have every right to use Kemach, even when it's not for a mitzvah. And we're going to follow the case of the Nachtom, like the read of the Magad Mishnah, that everybody is included in that. And we're going to follow the read of the Rajba, back by meat, that we do not follow the Bavli of an Isser altogether to be Shokel in the person's house. Meaning that he'll learn that all the shkil that we're talking about is only beveis tabach and with mekach or memkar type things. The only issue then where we're left is
the oats.
And for that we jump to source Yud Daled. And this is really, again, the main question that we've been dealing with, b'sefer tefila Shabbos. He's working within the Rajba here, and he says, we're going to bring a raya that the Rajba's wrong, that our Shas does not hold like this. Right? The Rashi. So how's the Rajba going to deal with that? And that, I think, is a very tough question, because the Rajba, now we've seen, can explain all the other cases in a way that Talmud Bavli agrees to Talmud Yerushalmi that personal measuring is allowed. Again, we had the Meir, we had the Rambam, which we explained, either to say that it's always going to be Aser like the Magen Avram, because it's only when there's going to be severe loss that it's going to be Mutter, or we had, again, the Shita that we called Maria Buab, depending on whether it's, you know, could be done before or after. But now we can have the Rajba's read, which is to say, in all cases, the Bavli agrees 100% to say that Medida on Yantif for personal use, for non-commercial use, is mutter. So how then are we possibly going to explain this case? Any suggestions?
Okay, so, I mean, this case has been bothering me the whole time. I tell you,
yes.
I looked at your shelf.
Yes, and this is the part that I want to get.
Okay, so the only reason I could see for this, and I checked historically,
mm-hmm.
you never measure to feed the animals. In other words, this is a medida that is not even done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for animals, it's lola tzorech, and so it's aser.
Okay.
This is not the normal way of feeding animals.
Okay. I think you could make, I think that's a decent argument. In which case, when you're doing medida which is never ever done, just only special for Yontif, that would be something that's Aser, that's I think a good interpretation. I wanted to look at it from a different point of view.
That's right. What happens if you undermeasure? You know, you don't measure, you put too little, it's our bal chayim.
Except he would take the feed and give it to them. It wasn't imprecise.
You say.
The question is, what would they do on a regular weekday?
But they don't want to spend more.
The question is, what do they do on a regular weekday?
So now that you have machines, you actually have medida for animals, and it's a question of, can you use the machines to feed the animals on Shabbat? Because it is being measured out precisely every time.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have the system.
Right.
You look it up on the internet.
Have a system, you're saying. So they can never measure it. But then what's the whole thing about measuring it?
Ah, so he is saying, because you just were doing it, and therefore that's why it's out there. I was going to...
And it's not Yerushalmi at all.
I don't...
Yerushalmi does not have this case.
Right. I would suggest, possibly, the following answer. I don't know why someone would be measuring out for the animals. It could be they did, it could be they didn't. I don't know. What I was going to say, though, however, is that it's interesting. It was sparked by our discussion. We had an email discussion as to the reasons why measuring is aser. We talked a lot about the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos in previous weeks, that Rashi held the reason that it was aser to measure is because of mekach u'memkar, and Tosfos held that it was because of uvdin dechol. And I was thinking about this, and we had a back and forth in certain details where it is hard to understand why Rashi says this. And it's hard to think that Rashi wouldn't think it's an issue of Uvdin Dechol, given all the other things that Rashi thinks is an Uvdin Dechol. And I thought that maybe it could be for the following reason. When it comes to measuring something at home for an individual, maybe we're all willing to agree that it isn't uvdin d'chol, and that's clearly for personal use. However, when would someone go to the storehouse with a big kli to fill up and start measuring things out into it? That's never something that was done for personal use. Meaning, it's true that when you're feeding your animal, you take out food, but we're saying to take it out with a measure and to measure it out in a particular way, that's only something that you can't defend as personal.
So what,
because the only time you would go into a giant... So, correct, because that type of act is something that would only ever be done commercially. The only time you'd go to your storehouse and take out 55 pounds of grain would be when you're bringing it to the store to sell. So even though it's true here in Hanami, you're not bringing it to the store to sell, that's the reason as to why Rashi says that this case is specifically a case of mekach u'memkar, and that's why even though we wouldn't think that there's ovdin d'chol because it's being done on a personal basis, here you need to say that it's about mekach u'memkar, because again, why else would you be going in with a measuring tool to your big silo?
But he's not actually doing mekach u'memkar. I mean, he's actually...
Correct. That's where Rashi says it's nirek mekach u'memkar, because the only time someone would normally do such a thing would be to sell it. So if that's the case, then even the Rashba agrees that this is aser. Because the Rashba agrees that any mekach u'memkar type of measuring is aser. That's why he doesn't let the butcher weigh meat. But the Rashba would then agree that if a person was simply measuring out a small amount of food, not from their big storehouse, then maybe it would be mutter to give to their animals on Yom Tov. And meaning the Rashba could hold that all types of personal measuring are mutter, and the only reason why the Bavli holds that measuring out for your animals is mutter, because that is particularly mekach u'memkar dik, in the fact that you're going, again, to take a large amount of grain out of your storage place, which would normally only ever be done for mekach u'memkar. So we're at time here, but I think, sort of in summary, again, we talked about the different approaches in general. Most approaches were to take that the Bavli argues on the Yerushalmi, and that is usser. Either it's usser in cases where you could have done it beforehand, like the shita that we called the Maria Buab, or it's usser on all grounds, like we saw the Magen Avraham try to make everything usser, and maybe there's a heter if there's going to be a tremendous loss to the food and to the public. But other than that, we see now that the Rashba also has a way to read Talmud Bavli like him in saying that the case of Kemach is only about Kemach and not about Mitzvah, as we saw from this article from Rav Michal Shiloni, and the case of Nachdom applies to everybody, and therefore it's mutter for personal use. The weighing meat is only usher for commercial use, and so too, maybe we could argue that measuring out seorim on such a large quantity and such a large scale from the storehouse is also something that looks too commercial, which is would also explain why Rashi brings up that strange reason then, but really Rashi would hold that other measuring might be usher as well.
In Rashi, which I didn't pay attention to beforehand, it says, afilu l'tein l'viv hemato. In other words, it's not... That wasn't necessarily the act he was doing.
Because he's measuring out a large amount of stuff.
Right, but he may be measuring it out for other purposes. Because
yes.
It says, even if he's giving it to his animal, it's usur.
Yeah.
Okay, which would have meant that we would have thought to his animal is permissible, but it's usur because we're thinking that he's measuring it out for other purposes.
Well, I think what Rashi's... I'm not sure if you read Rashi that way. I mean, obviously I did, based on what I just said.
Right.
But what Rashi is saying is, afilu is... I don't know that Rashi agrees with the Rashba. I'm just saying he clearly sees a mekach u'memkar element in this, but the afilu is going on not only what we saw in the Mishnah, which is moded limchor mamish, but even to give to your behema. That's where he's going with the word afilu.
Maybe it's a grain sale.
Meaning he's saying, because this is the first halacha that comes up after the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah tells us when it's usher to measure in a mekach u'memkar context itself. And now he's telling you, even outside of mekach u'memkar, it's usher because of, it looks like mekach u'memkar. That's what the word afilu is coming to. Not the fact that he's going on his own accord to the silo and measuring out grain and like, oh, maybe I'll give it to my animal. I don't think that's the right way to read Rashi. I do think Rashi is saying what I explained, but that certainly fits in with the way that I'm explaining the Rashba. But it's an interesting diuk, nevertheless. Okay. Shkoyach.